I'm looking forward to what God has for us here today. I believe it's just as important what he has for the two or three or the few of us that are here right now as it is if this is wall to wall and people with standing room only. God knows where we're at and knows our need, what we need right now here today. And we're going to rely upon him and lean upon him heavily this morning and just trust in him and trust in his word that he is and that he's a rewarder and that he will do what he said he would do. Can we just pray together? Spirit of unity, just for God to have his way in this place. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, that we are gathered here together, but we are gathered here in your name, Lord, at the mention of your name, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, things happen. All heaven is called to attention when we call upon your name in Jesus' name, Lord, whether your name is whispered or whether your name is shouted upon, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, there's so much power in that name. There's saving power in that name of Jesus. There's delivering power in that name of Jesus, Lord. There's healing power in that name of Jesus. There's restoring power in that name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, and what you've prepared in our hearts, Lord, and what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.
Praise the Lord. First verse. Through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true.
Yes.
What I thought was impossible,
the many times I could not pray, still my God, he was faithful to me. The days I spent so selfishly reaching out for what pleased me, even then he's been faithful to me. Oh, Every time I come back to Him, He's been waiting with open arms, and I see once again
He's been faithful.
Is a living story. I just got thinking about that first song we were singing, and I feel like there's a spirit of brokenness here. Maybe you don't feel it, but I believe it's evident here. But that's just evidence that God is near. God is very near to us right now. And when He is near to us in a time of brokenness, And we're the body of Christ. And one may be broken in here, and one may not be broken. But as being a part of the body of Christ, we're there for each other in that time of brokenness. But I believe that God is also here to heal, too, in Jesus' name. So I'm thankful for that. I just wanted to share that with you. This morning, we're going to talk about faith. That is our topic. And I want to get right into the text. Our focus verse this morning is in Philippians 1 and 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 11 and 1 through 6, it says, now that faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that which are seen were not seen of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You could be seated at this time. I talked to the worship team in the back a few minutes before. I'm just going to tell you right now that I'm coming up here. I'm totally reliant upon God to be up here. I was going to explain this further down in my lesson this morning, but I'm going to tell you just straight up. I am totally dependent upon God right now for these next few minutes. God is somebody that we can heavily rely upon because he's got some heavy shoulders. He can handle our weight. If you and I had to carry some weight of somebody else, how far would we go before our knees would get a little weak, or our legs begin to stiffen up, or our shoulder would begin to tighten up? We wouldn't be able to get very far. But God is a God that can carry us the whole distance. He can carry us all the way. And it's not a struggle for him to carry us, to get us through any situation in our life. He is able. So I, as well as you, we're going to rely and trust upon him heavily here today. Because whatever heavy burden that we have, we can give it and hand it over to him. And he can handle it. It is not a weight too heavy for him to bear. I'm so thankful for that. James 2, 14 through 18 also says, what doth it profit, my brethren, that a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? For if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If you have the ability to help someone, help them. That's what he's saying. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. A man or woman of God is a man of action. They put their words into action. Then when they trust God and believe in him, that he will do what he said he would do. Faith in God will provide confidence for right now, as well as hope for the future. My faith will get me through right now, but my faith will propel me and pull me forward to where I need to be in my walk with God. True faith in God involves a choice to believe in him no matter what happens in our life. We must have faith, a humble faith, based on our personal relationship with him. God has also set things up that prideful people will not believe the things that are of God. They'll believe in evolution. They'll believe that things are just kind of blown up and put together. But it takes a measure of faith to believe that. There's always a way to trust God, despite the evidence that may seem at times to contradict his word. If the evidence for God were incontrovertible, faith wouldn't even be necessary. It took faith for them to believe in evolution. It takes for us to believe in God. But whose report are we going to believe? I want to believe the report of the Lord. Trusting God is a key to our success in our Christian walk. On one hand, it can be difficult at times in our walk with God and trust him between knowing what God can do and what he will and he won't do in our lives at times. Sometimes we see his restraint, but we don't see the bigger plan he has in our lives for us. Sometimes we only see the immediate, and he sees the bigger picture that causes us to rely heavily upon him. Lord, I have to trust in you because my knees are a little weak today. I'm going to have to trust in you for the future because your plan is bigger than what I can conceive. You know, we can't wrap our mind around some of the things that God has for us and some of the situations that we are in life. There's no way that we could fully understand it because we may feel like we're going through a test or a trial or a circumstance, and God says, I'm going to give you the strength, and I will carry you when you don't have strength. And my strength is sufficient for you, but you're going to have to trust me because my plan and whatever you conceive of in your human mind, that's not what I have in plan. And we're going to look back, and we're going to see that his ways were perfect and that his plan was just right for and just what we needed in our lives. Faith is also the confidence that God will act on our behalf. There's a boldness that we can have that when we rely upon him or rely upon his word, that we're confident that God will do and that he is a rewarder. In the first four books of the New Testament, it shows healing and deliverance to the people that placed their faith in Jesus. Christian faith is demonstrated by our response to the gospel, our lifestyle choices, our affirmation of important truths, and our confidence that God is able to work out miraculously in our lives. That impossible situation is never impossible for God. Sometimes God wants to show himself strong. He wants to set us up in our lives to where we may think that we are in an impossible situation. And then God shows himself in those impossible situations. And that's where our confidence, our boldness begins to build up in him. Lord, I couldn't bear that at that moment in time. I could not see how that worked out. And I learned to trust in you because of that. And then those are building blocks of faith that we have in our life. We look back on that, and our faith becomes stronger, and that foundation of faith gets bigger and wider. I'm so thankful for those times. It's hard to say I'm thankful for those times when you're going through them, but it's like when I look back, I'm thankful for those times because that's the confidence that I have, that the Lord was with me. He was behind me the whole way. He's behind me right now, but he was behind me the whole way when I could not see, when it was so foggy in my life that I could not see past that first little white line in front of me on the side of the road. It was so bleak. I could not see out of the rearview mirror if somebody was going to come up and if I was going to slam on my brakes, if I was going to get hit from behind. But he was behind me. He was with me the whole time. I'm so thankful for that. Substance of things hoped for. Hebrews' intention here was to contrast a Christian's faith in Christ and his gospel with the limited experience of the Old Testament faithful. Their attachment to the law of Moses and its sacrificial system was merely a shadow when compared to the substance of Christ. We see examples of faithful men and women of God in the Old Testament, how they demonstrated their faith in God, looking forward to something that they have not attained yet, looking forward to the coming of Christ, which they only heard about, but they had something that their faith propelled them to look forward to that someday. Christians have the knowledge of Christ not shared by Old Testament believers. Their knowledge remained incomplete, but their faith was still required to please God. Abel and Enoch were both examples of having faith in God, where they pleased God. They were both pleasers of God. Abel was somebody in the Bible that was obedient to God and gave God an acceptable sacrifice. Enoch was somebody also that pleased God, and God translated him. Abel did everything to please God with his sacrifice. He gave a more excellent sacrifice, a more perfect sacrifice, but he was murdered. Both pleased God. Both situations are different. They had different circumstances in life. One could be clear of those harsh circumstances in life, and one's going to go through tests and trials. But God, your favor in God has never changed. That favor in God of Abel is no different than the favor in God of Enoch. He loved them both. He enjoyed the relationship that he had with both of them. Their life circumstances, outcomes were totally different. I want to do what pleases him. No matter what the circumstances of my present time in my life is, I'm going to just look forward to pleasing God. I'm going to have that mindset to where, Lord, I'm going to look forward. I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to look back. How many of us makes mistakes? We can all raise our hand. I've made mistakes. But I'm going to look forward. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put those mistakes behind me. Because your goodness and mercy are following me. And for me to look at my mistakes, I have to look past his goodness and mercy. How far back behind that rearview mirror do I have to keep looking beyond that goodness and mercy that keeps following me? I have to have really good ears and really good eyes to see beyond the rearview mirror behind his goodness and mercy. You know what? His goodness and mercy is far enough for me to look behind. That gives me the confidence for me to look and move forward in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm so thankful that he gives me that. His goodness and mercy gives me that moving forward, that looking forward mindset. The enemy will try to distract us, and I don't even know how we can hear it at times. And I don't mean to stay on this. How can we hear the voice of the enemy when his goodness and mercy are right here? When he says, when I wake up in the morning, he goes, I'm right there with you. I go before you. I'm surrounded by him. I'm surrounded by my God. I don't need to listen to the report. To believe a report of the enemy, and I'm going to share something that there's a book I recently read. It was called Killing the Spider. And a report that we believe of the enemy and how a spider can be formed in our lives is making agreement with the enemy. Was agreeing with something that isn't the truth. And believing that lie and making that agreement creates spiders in our life. And what causes the cobwebs in our life, there are symptoms that are a result of believing in that lie. But we, you know what? That report that the Lord is with me, the Lord is for me, the Lord is behind me, the Lord is with me when I wake up, the Lord is looking over me intently when I go to sleep at night. Lord, forgive me for believing that report. Forgive me for believing that lie of the enemy. Forgive me for agreeing with that lie of the enemy. Lord, I only want to believe what you have in your word. I only want to believe your truth in Jesus' name. I don't want to believe a 95% truth. I want to believe the whole truth of God in Jesus' name. I want the pure truth. I want everything. I want it in its purest form. And that is going to require me to have pure faith and trust in God. Unconditional walk with him. Because I'm going to hear things, and they're going to distract me. And a lot of distractions we kind of invite in ourselves. A lot of distractions that we have, we hear on social media, that we open up and we turn into the radio, or we turn on to the television. We're inviting those other reports, those other things, those other bits of information. And God has a report that says, believe my report. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to trust in what you hear, and how much have we opened ourselves up to things and open our mind to believe? And some are consumed by the things that they see. I'm just going to say this for a moment, by social media, and they're so clouded by what God has already told them and what God has shown and revealed to them. And their report gets distorted, and they start to believe other things, and they start to get consumed by things that get them emotionally worked up and get them emotionally attached to things that are not a report of the Lord. If their report that you listen to and that you give your time and attention to takes away from the report of the Lord, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, you are allowing yourself to be deceived by the enemy, you're allowing yourself to have spiders spring up in your life, you're allowing yourself to have cobwebs that to form in your mind and in your temple. We need to clean some things out. We need to turn some things off. If I get on Facebook and I get worked up, and I get emotionally worked up, and I don't get near as worked up as when I come to the house of God, and when I hear his word, and I feel his presence, but I could get on social media, and I could just get so worked up because of all the political agendas that are out there, and all the political spin, and all the, quote, fake news, and all the stuff. I get so worked up and involved in that. But I don't get involved in a prayer life. And I don't get involved in the lost soul or a prodigal that has walked out of here Lord, forgive me. Whose report am I going to believe? Maybe that's the brokenness that we need. Maybe you didn't feel broken when I first mentioned that here this morning. But that maybe that's the brokenness we need. Lord, break that. Break that cycle. Maybe it's an addiction. And I believe it is an addiction at times where we get on social media or we get on the news and radio. I remember listening to the AM radio and WGN News, and they got one of the best weathermen in the whole country, right, Brother Kellen? And they get on, and I grew up listening to talk radio. That was my thing. I wasn't big into music, but I listened to talk radio going to and from work. And it was amazing how they were so persuasive in evolution. And it was like, and I heard, I was like, I couldn't believe this. I enjoyed listening to these people for years. And these people have been on a radio for 20-something years, going on 30 years. And I grew up listening to these people, and all this stuff is starting to come out. We're big evolutionists, and we are anti-God. And you know what? They were anti-God the whole time. They were just kind of putting it under cover for a little bit. But I did remove some things in my life. Just because we don't see that spider that kind of pops up doesn't mean that there's evidence of him in our lives when we see the cobwebs in our life. We want to react when we see that, but we want to kind of put up with those distractions, those things that cause us to not believe the report of the Lord. I need to sever that agreement I made with the enemy and believe in anything. Any distraction, I need to confess it before God and say, Lord, forgive me for those distractions. I want to recover from falling on my face before him. It's easier to recover from that than to try to recover from trying to maintain all these distractions in my life. Paul maintained his faith in Jesus despite considerable hardships and sufferings. In 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, it says, "We are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." In that circumstance, that phone call you may have had, that run-in that you may have had in with a family, that may have put you down or set you back, but that did not destroy you. That may have put you back and set you on your heels. And there is times the enemy will creep in, and he will catch us off guard. And then he will attack us with a spirit of intimidation. And it may be when things are going okay in our life. And all of a sudden, he'll just kind of get blindsided by that. And it's all happened to us. It's happened to me where everything's okay, and I get blindsided by that. But you know what? That did not take me out. I didn't say, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to walk away from this. There's no way. God's invested too much in me. I've seen too much. What else is there besides my hope in him that would cause me to want for anything that caused me to be distracted, what would cause me at times to be cast down? What are those setbacks? Nothing is worth walking away from this. Nothing ever. There will always be points where human knowledge is limited, where we won't know everything. That's where faith comes into play. These examples in Hebrews 11 serves as examples for us today. They believed in God, and their faith was justified by the coming of Jesus and the Messiah. We can be confident that our faith in God will be rewarded even when we can't see God at work at times. We have to trust him. He is still with us. Even though we are sick in pain, he is our healer. Faith looks beyond our present circumstances and chooses to trust God no matter what. I know that there are men and women of God in faith here today that are sick in body, that are dealing with, they haven't been healed yet, but they still have a faith in God to know that he is a healer. And they have the confidence and boldness to go before him in their prayer closet, in their prayer time, or coming to pray for somebody else that needs healing. They need healing in their body themselves, but their faith says, God, you haven't healed me yet, but I know that you're a healer. And God will reward that, and God will honor that. And I believe that with no doubt in my mind. Aren't you thankful that he will reward your faith? I am not healed yet, but God is my healer. I'm not restored yet, but God is my restorer. God has not made all things new yet in my life, but God is a God who does make all things new. I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to believe that by faith, even though I don't see it in my present circumstances. I don't see it in my life personally, but I'm going to see it. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shouldn't let the sufferings or difficulties cause us to lose our faith in God. By faith, we continue to serve God despite our present trials, keeping in mind that there is more to reality than what we can actually see. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Christ was our example of not living by bread alone, but by every word out of God. And this is my personal scripture for this week, and I want to share it with you. It's in the NLT translation. It says, 1 Peter 5:10, it reads, "In his kindness, God has called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. I'm going to take him at his word." There's a time where we feel like that suffering in our lives just seems like it's never going to end. But it's for a moment. I love it when Brother Wells talked about last Sunday. God works in times and seasons. My faith says, you know what? I'm not going to be in this situation forever. This is only for a time. This is only for a season. My faith says I have something to look forward to. My faith says God is going to carry me through this. My faith says when my faith is weak, his faith is made perfect in my weakness. His strength is made perfect. I'm going to look forward. And when I can't stand, I'm going to come in here. And I'm going to lean on my brothers and sisters. And they're going to encourage me. They're going to lift me up. They're going to build me up. I'm going to walk out of here strengthened. I can't tell you how many times that people have called and said, "I'm going to pray for you for strength." And God has given me strength that is only other than unexplainable. It is supernatural. Where you're right in the middle of a storm and you're like, "I don't feel fazed by nothing." Other people would be in a drunken stupor, but God, he sustained me. He strengthened me. He lifted me up. My brothers and sisters are praying for me. We pray for each other. We lift each other up because we know that we can't do it on our own. We can't rely on our own understanding. We can't rely on our own intellect and our own wisdom and our own ability. We rely on our God. And he brought us together in a body for us to rely on each other because we are all parts of a body and we need each other. Aren't you thankful for the body? I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. There is so many different parts of this body. There are bold parts of this body, and there are timid parts. It's like these. We have type A here. We have introverts. We have people that are good at being an usher. We have good at people being in the Sunday school department. We have good people being up here on the platform worshiping. But God has put us all here together. We are all not good at that particular thing, but God has placed us in here to work together for a spirit of unity, and we are strong in that. I'm so thankful. I believe that God is taking care of and is in control of circumstances that I have no control over. That's when our faith says, "Lord, it's all you. I have no control over the situation." You aren't supposed to have control over it. I'm supposed to reveal myself in this circumstance because I'm going to get the glory for it. That's what he said. You're going to experience seasons in life. You're going to experience difficulties. You're going to go through tests and trials. But we need to be encouraged. That test and trial that you went through 5 years ago isn't the same test and trial that you're going through now. But I can look at that test or trial that God brought me through, and that's my building block of faith that has me boldly moving forward to that bigger test and that bigger trial. Why is this one so much bigger than this other one? Because this one's a bigger building block for my faith than that one is. I need all these little parts. I need those big blocks and those little blocks. I need that stone. God is that stonemason in my life where he places a particular block here and a particular block there. And those are walls. Those are impossible situations. And he brings us through every one of them. And we have a bolder confidence in him after every test and after every trial. I'm going to have to buzz through this. I'm going to... Faith has to be part of every Christian's life. We cannot even approach God, let alone please Him, without faith. If we don't believe God in His existence, how are we going to accept and believe God's salvation plan in our lives? Either we have faith or we don't have faith. It takes faith to please Him. It takes faith to say, you know what, I'm going to surrender my all to Him. And when I give my all to Him and I have nothing left to give Him, I'm going to thank Him. When I begin to praise Him and receive Him, He's going to fill me with His Spirit. That's faith that's required in salvation. And we all have to have that faith, the equal faith. But God has all given us measures of faith. And those faiths could be in the church body, like I was just talking to, where God gives us certain gifts of the Spirit, where somebody may have a gifting in one area and another person may have a gifting in another. And God uses those gifts. And that gift is going to require more faith in a certain area than that another person. But those are all for us, for the edifying of the saints and for building up of this church. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read you this story. It's a story of a writer's mother when she was only 4 years old. She had attempted to peek inside a pot of boiling potato soup and accidentally tipped it over herself. The scalding hot soup poured over her chin, her shoulders, her chest, her right hand, resulting in severe burns. Her mother immediately rushed her to the bathtub and began running cold water over the burns. She recalls feeling terrible pain as she desperately screamed, "Mama, Mama, Mama." Between screams, her mother, fully aware of her complete inability to relieve the pain, told the little girl, "Mama can't help you, but Jesus can." The next scream was different. "Jesus!" In response to this desperate cry, Jesus immediately took away all the pain. The child immediately became quiet, softly continuing to repeat the name of Jesus. By the time local pastor arrived, the girl was perfectly calm. Although it took several months for the burns to heal, the girl never went to a doctor. They felt no more pain related to the burns. Mama can't help you. Mama can't heal you, but Jesus can. The enemy will try to distract you and try to trip you up. And He has done this with the people that we don't see here today. But if we could remember, and if we could pray a prayer for them to remember to just say the name of Jesus, they may be into impossible situations. We may look to see that stronghold they got is so strong, they are never going to get out of it. But if they could remember what it was like to say the name of Jesus, they don't know how to get out of the addictions and strongholds they are in. They don't know what to do next. But may they remember to just say the name of Jesus. Because when they send the name of Jesus, things change in their life. And they're going to remember that. They're going to remember back at that foundation that was laid in their life, how God put building blocks in their lives, that those stones that they could look back in the past say, "God did this for me in this impossible situation. Maybe there's hope for me in my impossible situation. God is able to get me out of this." In Jesus' name. We need to pray in faith, believing that God is able to save the person that maybe would come to your mind and think, "There is no way that I will ever see this person here again." Pray believing. Believing. Put it forward. "Lord, I don't see it right now. And Lord, forgive me for looking at the present circumstance. There are men that I know of that have walked in the house of God fully intoxicated, but when they came into the house of God, they responded to God's gospel message. They were baptized in Jesus' name, intoxicated. They came out sober in Jesus' name. Impossible to man, but possible with God." We need to see more things like that. We need to expect more healings in the house of God. And our faith is not predicated on our circumstance. But our faith says, "God will. My God will heal me. I am in an infirmity. I am in a pain. the doctor says there's no hope, but my God says he's going to heal my brother or sister no matter what. God may or may not heal me in my lifetime, but God is going to heal somebody in Jesus' name, because my faith does not stand in the wisdom of any doctor or any report. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord in Jesus' name. We will never be able to see the significance of the part we play until we get to heaven. This is why it's so vital. We must be remain committed to trust in God, no matter what we are experiencing or how far away it seems. If our faith remains strong, we, like those who have gone before us, those ones in Hebrew 11, if we could stand at this time, will obtain promises. More importantly, someday we will hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Looking forward, not looking at my present circumstance. Continue to move forward. Even if we don't move forward very fast, as long as we're moving. I just don't want to be where I'm at today. You know what? Who is that? Winston Churchill, one of his quotes. He said, "If you're going through hell, keep going. Whatever you're going through, just keep going. Keep moving forward. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, I know the season's going to change. You work in times and seasons. I'm going to believe there's an expected end. I'm going to keep moving forward." Can we just lift our hands and worship you? Lord, I thank you for your word in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we get our eyes off our circumstances of right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You're the God of right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You are greater than anything, Lord, that we may be dealing with right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. But you're the God, Lord, of the future, Lord. You're the God of the next season in our life, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. For his report says, "I am healed." His report says, "I am filled." His report says, "I am free." His report says, "Victory."
Sing it.
Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Sing it again. Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of
his
the
report.
Lord.
Well,
his report says, "I am healed." His report says, "I am filled." His report says, "I am free." His report says, "Victory." Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Oh,
his report says, "I am healed." His report says, "I am filled." His report says, "I am free." His report says, "Victory." We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Tell me,
whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Kreger. As he was teaching this morning, I was reminded of the parable of Jesus in Luke 18. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And here's the parable that Jesus gave in relation to that, in relation to men always praying and not fainting, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith." Listen to what he said. Listen to what this unjust judge said. The one who feared not God nor regarded man. But he said, because she continually comes. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Jesus says this, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Every time she came and every time she was told no, it didn't stop her from coming back the next time. Every time she came and the report was, "No, he won't hear you. No, he won't judge on your behalf." She didn't keep her. It didn't keep her from coming the next time and the next time and the next time. Lord, help me. Help me to come. Let my prayer life, Lord, let my determination to follow you, God, let it be on the basis of faith, God. Lord, if an unjust judge that feared not God nor regarded man would respond, oh, how much more so will you respond, God? When you come, will you find faith? Will you find people who are still being faithful, who are still kneeling before you, who are still coming before you? Help us. All over this house, can we find a place to pray, whether it be here at the altar, whether it be there in the pew where you are? Help me, God. It's an attribute I need so much of my life is just to be faithful.
Trust you, still I will follow, still I will listen to your every call.
Whose report will you believe?
Though the storm rages on.
The enemy says one thing, maybe even friends, family, confidants say something else. What does the Lord say?
I will trust.
Do you trust Him? Just keep praying. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Faith will make the sacrifice worth it.
The storm rages on.
Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep pressing on.